Now, WGN Radio's daily conversation about the life of business and the business of life. This is The Opening Bell with Steve Grzanich on 720 WGN.
Welcome back to the program. Thanks for being here with us on our Friday edition of The Opening Bell. Lots of airline news to talk about this morning, from the 737 MAX to some changes for JetBlue. All of it in our conversation this morning with Brian Summers, who's Senior Aviation Business Editor for Skift.com. And Brian joins us this morning via Skype from Los Angeles. Brian, let's start with the 737 MAX story. Let's give listeners an update on how the ongoing grounding is still impacting some of the airlines.
Yes, Steve, the airplane remains grounded. We're not sure when it will fly again. The hope is perhaps sometime this summer, I suppose, maybe late in June. Airlines seem to be canceling their flights a little bit at a time. So we saw in the last week or so, Americans said, we think this will take a little bit longer. They canceled their flights out till June 5th. Southwest came out and canceled its flights to June 7th. Those are the two airlines that are most affected by the groundings. American has 24 of the MAX jets. They've been canceling about 90 flights a day. Southwest has 34 jets. They've been canceling somewhere about 130 flights a day. They've been trying to let people know far in advance. There have been some complaints from passengers. I've seen this anecdotally where folks said that they really weren't notified. The airline should have done better. But, you know, the airlines are doing the best they can. Our friends at Chicago-based United, I wouldn't say they're gloating, Steve, but they're doing a little bit better. They only have 14 MAX aircraft, and so far they've said that they've been able to go along with very limited cancellations. One of the things that they're doing is they're using bigger aircraft. So the 737 is a narrow-body plane, not that many seats. United has some slack in its wide-body fleet. Those are the big planes that fly to Asia or Europe. Those are 787s, 777s. And, you know, when United is able, it says, okay, well, we have these planes on the ground. Let's fly them on a 737 MAX route. Scott Kirby, United's president, wrote a letter to employees this week, and he said, you know, we're doing it. We're not inconveniencing many customers. We're happy about it. But this is expensive, and we don't know how long we'll be able to do this. So I think come peak summer, if this lasts, United will not be able to do that in the same way. They'll have to cancel more flights. But so far, so good over at United. Those are the three U.S. airlines with the MAX.
Yeah, and you mentioned the word expensive there. I would imagine we're going to start seeing in quarterly earnings reports just how expensive this is for some of these airlines.
We will. In fact, we're starting to see it a little bit because American Airlines put out some investor guidance earlier this week, and they said this unit revenue guidance, it's going to be a little bit lower than expected for the first quarter. It's not horrible, but American will make less money than expected. Southwest also. With Southwest guidance, it was a little harder to make sense of it, just because you may remember, Steve, before we talked about MAX groundings for Southwest, we were talking about a labor dispute with their mechanics. The mechanics may have slowed down the airline a little bit. Southwest was taking more airplanes out of service for maintenance reasons than before. The good news with Southwest is that it's reached a tentative agreement with its mechanics, so that has sort of gone away. But Southwest in the first quarter really had two issues. They had the MAX grounding, they had the labor dispute, and so it's a little bit hard to tell financially where the bigger impact was.
Brian, another story this week that's interesting, it's JetBlue announcing an international route. To some of listeners who are not as up on this as you are, that was news, but it's sort of the worst kept secret ever, isn't it?
It really is the worst kept secret, Steve. It's certainly the worst kept secret since Southwest announced that they were flying to Hawaii a couple of years ago. Southwest telegraphed that. Most people knew it was coming. People got excited about it. We don't see JetBlue much in Chicago. They're there, but they're not a big player. JetBlue is really big in Boston and New York. And so this week, JetBlue said that it would fly from Boston and New York to London and perhaps elsewhere in Europe by 2021. You know, this is a big deal for passengers on the East Coast. Folks are hoping that it'll do for European routes what Southwest has gone to Hawaii, what that has done. Which is basically lower fares. Southwest is a pretty well-regarded, low-cost carrier. And, a lot of passengers are hoping the airline will mix things up a little bit on transatlantic routes.
Yeah, and so if it works on this initial offering, are we going to likely maybe see this in some other markets, including Chicago at some point?
Steve, I'm afraid I have some bad news on that. The answer is probably not. Boston and New York, they are really important cities to JetBlue, and that's where their focus is. So that's one thing. The second thing is simply aircraft performance. When JetBlue goes to Europe, they're not going to be using these fancy, enormous wide-body airplanes that United and American usually use from Chicago. They're going to be using the single-aisle Airbus A321. It's possible that the A321 has the range to fly from Chicago to Europe. Maybe it could get to Dublin, maybe London, but it really doesn't have the range to get to most of the big cities in Western Europe. It's mainly an East Coast to Western Europe airplane, and for that reason alone, I don't see it flying to Chicago.
Well, one of the coolest stories that I've read of yours recently has to do with sort of taking overhead bins into the digital era. Tell us about this.
Yeah, this is a fun one, Steve. I went to Germany last week, to Hamburg, to the biggest airline interiors trade show in the world. It's a fascinating sight, just rooms and rooms of all the things that might be coming to an aircraft near you. Things like seats and, as you mentioned, overhead bins. So there were three companies showing off these next generation overhead bins. One of them was Airbus, and Airbus thinks maybe you want color-coded bins in the future with three lights, red, yellow, green. You can imagine what these mean. So if you see a green bin, that means there's room. A yellow bin, there's not room for a full bag, but maybe for your laptop. And a red bin means no more room. So that's the Airbus idea. Boeing would also put sensors in the bins, but it would report back what's in the bins to gate agents, right? So right now, the gate agents in the airport lobby at O'Hare, they don't really know how much space is left. So sometimes they'll get on the intercom and they'll say, we're out of room, you need to check your bag. But then you get on the airplane, and there's actually room. So agents would have access to what's going on in the bins live. That would be interesting. And then a third company called Diehl Aviation, they're German-based. They think it might be a good idea to have pre-reserved bin space. So, you know, maybe you would pay for it, maybe you would get it for free, but you would make a reservation online. The company would have a digital screen on the bin above your seat. It would say your name, maybe, and then you would put your bag up there and nobody else could use it. I have to tell you, Steve, as a regular business traveler, that's my favorite idea. Nothing makes business travelers so anxious as not knowing whether you will get bin space or not, right? Because you're not in Cancun, you're not on vacation, you really don't have those 20 minutes when you get to New York, when you're at LaGuardia, to wait for your bag. You want to go to your hotel, you want to go to your meeting. And, you know, business travelers, we have expense accounts. And so guess what? We might be willing to pay for bin space, but we want it reserved for us. So I think that's a good idea.
Yeah. And the first idea that you came up with sounds like it might maybe speed boarding if people can find out which overhead bag, overhead compartment is empty with a light. That sounds like a decent idea.
It does sound like a decent idea. We'll see whether it happens or not. You know, this trade show in Hamburg, I've been for the second time. There are a lot of great ideas in there. If I had to guess, about 95% of them we will never see on an airplane, but some cool concepts.
And when you go to these kinds of events, how far from showing you this prototype are they from actually putting it in an actual airplane, would you say?
Well, it's interesting, Steve. You know, a lot of the technology here is not that forward. Airlines could order this option essentially today if they wanted it. People tend to know that airlines are risk averse. They tend to use what has already worked. And so the manufacturers are saying, you know what, if we get an order, we could do it. We're just not sure that we're going to get an order. But sometimes it happens relatively quickly. A few years ago, manufacturers were showing off extra large overhead bins that could where you could put a lot more bags than before, and airlines are starting to add those. So we're seeing them now on American, United, and Alaska.
All right, Brian, good conversation. We'll talk to you again next week.
Thank you, Steve.
Brian Summers is Senior Aviation Business Editor for Skift.com, at Skift on Twitter. Make sure you follow Brian as well at Brian Summers.